We're back in action.
Great to see you.
We're back. Brought to you by Calgary Yuck Yucks.
Home of Roast Battles, October 4th. We got a brand new belt. What do you think of it?
Well, we're coming out promo hard on this one. Hey, at the beginning?
MeUndies at the top. We'll get to the content later.
Yeah, so this is a cool new prop that I guess you have.
I just wedged. Yeah, this is...
Hey, it's nothing to do with our podcast.
You're one of the most decorated headliners in roast battle history. You've put on some of the best 20-minute sets at the end of the show.
Okay.
In 29 episodes.
Hey, very much appreciated.
Not an easy show to headline, man. We've talked about this.
You're following
a crazy energy, and you got to be on it quick.
It is a very... It's a different beast to go up and do jokes after... people have been roasting each other because there's such a different vibe in the audience.
Yeah.
I don't even know really what the strategy is. You really just got to feel it out, but you can't just go up normal. Like you can't just hop into your set after there was a, you know, people are going to war.
Yeah.
I know. The only thing I know is you can't just hop up and be like, oh, so I was at the mall the other day.
Right.
Because people be like, they just watched a real interaction and then like, oh, this guy's off a script right
now. You got to be present or they'll eat you alive. And they're also drunk and it's 11:45 at night.
Yeah.
Right? So props to you, man. I've seen some, I don't know if we talked about it on a cast yet, but one of the headliners here for, you have a 20-minute spot.
Right.
And about 4 minutes in, the crowd was just eating him alive and he's going like, I'll be done in a second, guys. The story's almost over. So I was at the dentist the other day, and it'll just be a second, guys. Just hang tight. And then you know when you're in the waiting room, and hang on, guys. It'll be just a second. He had to do that for 16 minutes.
Yeah,
I felt terrible.
It's already tough enough that late at night. People, especially because you do it on Fridays, don't you?
Yeah.
It used to be. That late at night on a Friday, people are exhausted from work. Then they're drinking. That's why Friday late shows at a regular comedy show are usually the craziest.
Yeah.
And then you got to mix in this energy of it was a roast battle. So that's a completely different vibe where the audience almost feels super involved because they're the ones hootering?
Hootering?
What am I trying to say?
I don't
know. And hollering.
You remind me of the guy I spoke to at McDonald's in Kingston, Ontario, where I said, hey, what kind of McFlurries do you have? And he goes, we have M&M. We have Reese's, and we have Nanamino.
Oh, no.
And I went, what?
Oh,
he goes,
no.
But we're all out of the Nanamino. And I went, Nanaimo? And he's like, huh? You had no idea.
Hootering. That's embarrassing, man.
Nanamino.
It's late. It's always tough when you're an adult finding out how to say a word because it's you know you've said that at least 1,000 times the wrong way then.
I talk about it in my act, oregano. I've been saying oregano my entire life.
Have you actually said
oregano?
That?
It's not a joke. Literally ordering the same bread at Subway my entire life. I'll take Parmesan oregano.
Oregano.
I thought it was beautiful. You know? And artisanal. Not artisanal. I would say artisanal.
That one I actually didn't know. But I never say words like that. I don't give a shit about words like
charcuterie,
that.
Charcuterie? Don't you talk about charcuterie?
I one of my least favorite words in the world, charcuterie.
Well, it's charcuterie. Just, it's not charcuterie.
Whatever. Dude, whatever. I think
do we argue about this
we already
every
talked
cast?
About this.
Once a cast, we should argue
we're
about this.
We're four episodes in, and we've already talked about charcuterie, or whatever the hell that is, twice. And I can't do it again.
It's what the fans are demanding.
I can't do
when
it again.
We check the stats. Charcuterie spiked.
So yeah, it's just always, late shows are always, sometimes they're awesome, but you're right, like sometimes it's just people are there, they're just way too drunk, they don't care, or it's the other way, where everyone, I did a show at a club that will be anonymous one time, late show, and that, the audience that came in for the late show was like 10 times more energetic than the early show, and it's like 11 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's all this energy come from? Well, it was a Coke audience.
Okay.
So literally everyone was on Coke.
Yeah.
Good audience, though.
Grand Prairie? Where were you?
I can't say. I'm not saying where.
You're not allowed to say.
I can't say.
You have an NDA.
You would know it.
I thought you were going to say you would say. You would say.
It was at a charcuterie
event.
Event. Mm-hmm. That I'm sponsored by charcuterie.
Interesting, man. So you were just, where were you? I was in Ontario for 3 weeks. You were in Saskatoon.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been gone for a hot minute.
Yeah. So we're finally up to date.
It's amazing that we flew you in to do the episodes.
Right.
Flew you back out to Ontario.
Yeah.
Flew you back in to do the episode. And then flew you back out to Ontario so we could keep things fresh.
For the loyal listeners, yeah, the last three episodes have been in the tank and now we're up fresh. We can talk about current events if we wanted to, but we won't. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, what they don't know, a little bit of some Hollywood magic.
That's right.
So stupid.
That's right.
We banked the, so we had to kind of, you know, look into the future on the first few episodes and think, is this still going to be talked about in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It is.
I think
whatever it was, it is.
Yeah, we did a nice job.
But yeah, now we're actually live. This is this week. It's coming out this week.
Two Mirrors, live and on the ball. Let me get into it, man. I'm sure you saw some things on the Instagram about Ontario, my trek out there.
I didn't. I deleted you off all social media, so I don't know.
Any questions?
Take me through, because you've been gone for a while, so let's walk through what happened out there.
I mean, it starts in Ottawa. Not a lot happens in Ottawa other than like a great road rage incident where I saw a cyclist almost get hit by a car, and he yells, "Learn how to drive!" And the guy out the window yelled, "Learn how to afford to drive!"
And it's, it was not a like, bad line.
What a comeback.
Yeah, that's, you know, not a bad, like, line.
I loved it.
Damn.
And it was like an old guy in a Buick and a millennial on the bike, and it settled the whole debate for me right there. I was like, yeah. I mean, we debated that a lot in Calgary about should there be this many bike lanes, yada, yada, yada. But right there, that was it.
Learn how to afford to drive.
I've always thought of biking as the jungle, man. Okay. So if a bike hits a pedestrian, okay, there's not going to be much of an injury. If a car hits a bike, there's going to be much bigger.
Sure.
Not going to get to the jungle here, because if elephants are stampeding and you're a deer, right? You want to stay away from the elephants, right? So you may be, as a deer, maybe you want to get on the path with like the smaller animals.
Right,
I don't
know.
Like the sidewalk is fine. You'll go a little slower.
Yes.
But that's where you belong. You shouldn't be stampeding with the big fellas.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And the big fella barked back and said, "Learn how to afford to be a big fella."
I love it. Well, and I totally agree with that, too. And the funny part is that no matter what, like, people act like they're protected by the right of way. Good. You have the right of way. But guess what?
Yeah.
If car makes a mistake and you guys collide, doesn't really matter. Did it.
There's videos on the internet of people on breaks, like outside of a downtown building on their phone, just on a 15-minute smoke break, and someone falls from 40 stories above and lands on top of their head and ends their life too. There's rules against that kind of shit too, but shit happens. Sometimes mistakes happen. Protect yourself. Put yourself in a better spot.
Dude,
sorry,
there's more
that
than...
That video is just fresh. Okay,
hold on. There's more than one video of this happening?
Dude, if you go to crazyshit.com, I think it's called, you will see the wildest, like, bear attacks. Bears actually ripping people's faces off.
Yeah, that's, I don't know,
like, you actually get to see the face come off.
Yeah, you get to see.
it's wild, the amount of footage we have as a society right now.
Yeah, you're right, you could see anything.
Yeah.
You really could see anything if you wanted to.
So that's Ottawa. Then we move.
Yes,
so
that sums up Ottawa.
That sums up Ottawa. Nothing.
Yeah.
Let's get to the juicy part here. Okay. Those following know what we're going to get to here. I get a phone call from the owner of the comedy clubs out there. And because I'm the house MC during that week, he got a request for a political party. They said, "We need an MC for a rally on Sunday at 1 p.m., half an hour outside of Kingston, some small town." Blindly hired. He goes, "Yeah, I'll send my house MC." So I take this gig. I don't even know anything about politics, first of all. I don't know what political party.
Right.
But then when I get the call from Maxime Bernier of the People's Party of Canada, which is 4% approval rate in Canada.
Approval, or is it like it's 4% of the polls?
Of the popular vote.
Okay, the popular vote. Okay.
Okay, so which means, now I did 2 days of research, so I know a lot about politics now.
You're an expert.
So let me tell you. This Maxime Bernier guy was conservative with Andrew Scheer. He had 49% of the vote. Andrew Scheer had 51. So Scheer won. Maxime formed his own party. So now he's taking some supporters from the conservatives.
Sure. Okay.
He's essentially splitting the vote against Justin Trudeau and the liberals, right? So if I was a betting man, not a politics man, if I was a Vegas guy, which I am, I would put the mortgage on Trudeau winning again.
Okay.
Only because of that scenario, how the votes are getting split up.
Sure. Okay.
Essentially, Maxime Bernier is setting a pick on his own man, on Andrew Scheer, so that Justin Trudeau can glide by with his locks and finger rolled in on October 21st.
Okay.
So, 4% of the approval rate. Now, here's what's scary about it, because how this guy is seen in news is he's anti-immigration. he has billboards that say, say no to mass immigration.
So he's just anti any immigration.
Okay, so that's how the news will paint him.
Sure.
But the truth is he just wants a limit of 150,000 refugees or immigrants.
Okay. Okay.
Per year, whereas Justin Trudeau is setting the limit at 350,000.
Right, okay.
And it ends up going over that, okay?
Jeez, okay.
So now these billboards weren't approved, apparently, by him. His office did it without his approval, which sounds like the biggest lie of all time. Sounds like such a cover-up. Like, oh, I didn't know. It was my underneath that did it. I'm not to blame.
Oh, no, hold on. He's saying people within his own office
put up these billboards
and then he drove by and he's like...
No, he didn't drive by. They got defaced, and it said, say no to ass man. They covered up the right letters to say no to ass man.
Dude, why are we...
And then this made the papers, and of course, everyone's like, oh, this guy's racist. And then he's like, I didn't approve it, you know?
Sure.
Which is a lie. At that time, it's a lie. Until I find out he just blindly books roast battle MCs to host his political rallies. On Sunday afternoons, right? Didn't look into who I am, what my content is, anything like that. Doesn't know anything about me. Randomly hired me for this event. Okay. So now I truly do believe like there is no communication amongst his party at all. He doesn't approve shit. So sure enough, I say yes to the gig, obviously, because I'm thinking I'm going to roast him. I'm going to roast anyone, you know?
Right.
And who knows what kind of gig this is, man? I don't know. Like, I might be walking into a four-person town hall. It might be weird. I really don't know what the setup is.
Again, you know nothing.
I've never done a political rally. I do not know how these things work. All I know is a car is coming to pick me up, a politician from Kingston.
Right.
The People's Party candidate of Kingston is coming to pick me up and drive me out to
this. Oh, you fancy.
So I'm in the back seat of this town car with a fucking... suit, a Moore's suit hanging next to me while I'm getting notes. I'm getting briefed in the back seat. And it's exciting. It's exciting because I'm asking things. I'm like, all right, so I have to deal with hecklers at comedy clubs. Are there going to be any protesters or hecklers, if you will, at this event?
Sure.
And they're like, yeah, there could be a few from the Green Party, liberals, even conservatives.
Any other party, basically.
Any other party. And they said, but what there will be is spies. There will definitely be spies.
Whoa.
From other parties. And my heart started, I was
yeah,
like,
you love a spy, dude. You love a good spy.
Spies. And they're like, we can, like, we'll help you spot them out. Like, they know how to.
Do they have spy spotters?
They can look for spies.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So right away, I get in there. I'm looking for spies. Like, right away.
What do you think they look like, though?
I got caught two of them on camera. Come on now.
It's that awful.
I got them immediately.
Okay, okay.
Come on.
Okay.
You know what's funny, though? They were talking about this whole, like, there's going to be spies when the spy was in the back seat the whole time.
You're the spy.
It was me.
Yeah.
I was recording the whole conversation in the car. I recorded the whole event, right? And then when all said and done and they're scrambling to get the footage off the internet and get it back from me, I'm literally taking a train. I'm on a train leaving Kingston to Toronto with a satchel. And in the satchel is an actual hard drive with the footage on it, like a movie. Like I actually have a hard drive with the footage that the People's Party of Canada is emailing and calling me vigorously for.
Sure, yeah.
And they're saying like... they're like, did you change your number? Because they're emailing me and because I'm not picking up my phone. And my phone goes to an answering machine of Vanessa. For the past 5 years, my answering machine.
That's right. I forgot about that weird.
Is a woman's voice.
That's
and
right.
How you've reached Vanessa.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I've been preparing for this for years, this sting operation.
Yeah.
Man. That was from a girl at work who got 55 unreturned messages on Facebook from a guy named Giovanni L.A. His name was Giovanni L.A.
Sounds legit to me.
55 times over 5 years, he tried to one-liner strike up a conversation with this Vanessa girl.
Yeah,
I told her, I was like, you know what? Message him back now and say, hey, sorry, I'm not big on Facebook. Text me instead.
Sure.
Send him my number, right? Yeah. And then I began to fuck with him. For a year, I signed up for a soccer team.
Yeah.
I fucking everything. Right down to the day where they needed the $300 fee for the money because it was all text.
Yeah.
And I was goalie. And then I told him, I was like, oh, bro, you fucked up. Like, you've been talking to a guy this whole time.
Oh, my God.
I got, that's how deep I go.
Yeah. You play that long game.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm the spy.
Okay.
So we get to the event, and I got my camera with me, and rookie mistake. I go to set it up. I forgot the SD card at home. And it's like the whole reason I'm at this event is to capture the offside things I'm going to say about this guy.
Right.
Otherwise, the story's not as good. You need the proof, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. Okay, I still got the phone, right? So I set up the phone behind me, like on the stage, to capture this way. For whatever reason, the phone stops recording after 13 minutes. Oh, I lose that footage.
Yeah.
Spies. Now you see.
And now I believe it for sure, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I did one Andrew Scheer milk joke, called his wife a cow, and they shut off the camera on me. The spies.
I can't imagine why.
So, the event itself goes really well.
Sure.
Actually. The People's Party of Canada thanks me and says you did a great job, because I towed the line, man. Like, I offended, but then got them back. Offended, recovered. Like, said something that was undeniably funny, and they were like, okay, I guess we have to clap, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then there was times on the polar opposite where it was like, nope, that was not okay.
Too far.
You just brought him up saying, like, Max Bernier is a lot like syphilis.
Yep, I saw that clip.
Yeah. Yep. You know, he's been everywhere in Canada, but for some reason, he thrives in Alberta. Your leader, Max, right? And he shakes my hand, and he has to pretend to like it. But he was cool when I met him.
Sure.
And of all the candidates, he's the guy that can take a joke, right? Because he's supposed to be going for free speech. So
sure.
We put that to the test. The best part is after I do the jokes, I host the event, I do a question period in the crowd, which means I'm walking into the crowd with a microphone, and these really like upset farmers are like, yeah, what are you trying to do to our industry? And they start yelling at him. That was really interesting.
Right.
But the best part was after the show, a priest comes up to me, and this is what I have on film, and the priest is like, hey, you're really talented and funny, but you don't need to be crude. You don't need to do that. He goes, before Bill Cosby did what Bill Cosby did,
okay,
he told Eddie Murphy, he goes, you don't have to swear, and you don't have to either. And I go, okay, yeah. Well, what jokes crossed the line for you? He goes, well, you didn't have to call Andrew Scheer's wife a cow.
Yeah.
Okay. And I went, well, that's a dairy joke.
Technically, that's a clean joke.
It's a play on words. It's actually very clean.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he goes, second of all, don't use the Lord's name in vain. And the only time I did that was because I was making fun of Maxime, because he is in a Twitter fight with a 16-year-old autistic girl on Twitter.
Right, right. Yes.
And calling her mentally disabled and autistic, okay, and don't listen to her.
Okay.
So he's in this battle. So I'm like, dude, it's fitting that you're Catholic, because some of the things you say make me say Jesus Christ, you know, was kind of my intro to it. So that was too far.
That was too far for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old ladies were coming up to me at the end, and they were like, we saw your interview on Netflix with Justin Trudeau, but we didn't like what you did today. Do you know what they're talking about?
They think you're
Hassan Minhaj. We saw your Trudeau interview on Netflix, and I didn't know how to tell him. Like, I'm not Indian. I'm not Hassan Minhaj. But they're like, so we liked it when you made fun of that leader, but we didn't like your work today making fun of ours, essentially, which really just shows you how, like, ridiculous and polarized people's minds are, like, so quickly with politics.
But I almost don't even blame those old ladies, because you do look ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
You look like, I don't know.
I got some Hassan Minhaj in me, for sure.
I obviously can tell you apart. Because I'm woke.
Yeah, you're woke.
But for an old lady, I almost don't.
Yeah.
They're like, he looks like something.
In my life,
I've
gotten two free cab rides because the guys have been like, are you Indian? And I've just said, like, oh, my grandparents are, but I wasn't raised by them. I was raised here, and I don't speak the language. Okay. And they're like, okay, free fare.
Right.
That story checks out. That was good enough. So, yeah, it helps. You can kind of blend in.
Or stand out.
In this case, I was taking credit for... I got a Netflix credit now, is the news.
Yeah, you know, next time I bring you up, I'm going to say this guy's on Netflix.
Yeah, fresh from Netflix.
You might recognize him as Hassan Minhaj. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Brett Forte.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was fun, like, seeing the guys outside, how they talk, because there are a lot of comparisons to the People's Party of Canada to Donald Trump. It's kind of like our mini Trump.
Sure.
So in the crowd were guys with red hats, Make America Great Again. And there were...
But it's a Canadian election. What do they have?
I know. I know, but they're like, that's the show.
Because that's the people. Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the People's Party has some support from white supremacists and neo-Nazis.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, they're not welcome, right? But it sucks that they choose that party to cheer on. Of all of them, right, that's their pick, and it actually brings the party down a long way.
Of course it does. Right? Of course, yeah.
No, I saw some bikers and some like real white-looking dudes, but I don't think I saw any neo-Nazis. But again, hard to tell.
Don't they just glow or something like that?
Yeah, I think.
It's pretty obvious when you see them. They glow.
It needs to be like a black light or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard.
Oh, neon Nazis. That's what I'm thinking of. Those are the glow ones.
So hearing them talk outside, like just real Trump's America kind of shit. Like I walk outside and the guy's like, yeah, like I'm looking around like, are there any hot broads at this gym?
God.
Right? And the guy's laughing like, yeah, give me a fucking break. He's like, oh, there is that one Korean bitch. Yeah, she's pretty hot. She's got a husband, though, but I'm having an affair
with
her. Oh, my
God.
Like, this is straight up, and they're talking so loud, yeah, right? And then I begin talking to these guys a little bit more, and then they say, they're like, well, you know what Adam Gray's problem is? The legislature in 3B. I go, now we're whispering? Because we're talking about yeah, politics? You didn't whisper about the Korean bitch at the gym? But
oh,
now
my
it's like,
God.
I heard there could be a swing vote in Parliament. That's what they whisper.
Everyone's got different dimensions, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe those guys are really good at math. They just don't. Language isn't their thing.
Now, so I painted the picture of I don't have any footage of this event, right?
Right, right.
So right before going on stage, Global News is there. Global's there, the paper's there, and a radio guy's there.
Sure.
So the Global News camera girl, right before going on stage, I decide to give her a little inside tip. I go up to her, I go, hey, just to give you a little inside information. I'm a comedian, and they hired me to MC this event, and I plan on saying some things that are a little offside. So make sure the camera's rolling, I told her.
Yeah,
and she
went,
oh, okay. To me, it was like Clark Kent going up to Lois Lane, going like, I'm about to go in that phone booth, okay?
Right,
right.
Come
out of
that
phone booth, you better be rolling, okay? Because some shit's going to happen, you know? So I was telling her the cape was coming on. So I do my piece, and then I see as soon as I'm done, she takes down the tripod, and the camera is out the building. She doesn't even wait for Max's speech. So I'm thinking in my head, she's got her footage. She's not wasting time working on the story. She's going back. I haven't seen anything pop yet, unfortunately. But we are a long ways away from the election. Things are just heating up right now. Okay, most people are just kind of learning about the parties at this point. It's not over yet, is all I'll say.
Okay. Yeah, because they're probably banking that footage.
Yeah.
To be honest, I've never even heard of that. It's a new party? Is it a new one?
Right.
People's Party?
Started a year ago by ex-conservative guy. Yeah.
Man, can you believe there's still guys out there that say broad?
As
an actual word?
Like not joking
like for
around.
Serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I would do it as a... You ever do a character and then you meet the guy or you hear the guy who's the character? Like we've all done an impression of like the Alberta guy. Who's like, guy, you, well, you get the fuck, guy, get the truck, you go to the Ripper, right?
Yeah.
And then I was walking them all one day and I heard a guy behind me literally talking like, he mentioned truck, going to the Rippers.
Yeah.
Chucking a dart.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything. I was like, is this guy a movie character right now? That's a real guy.
He ruins the joke for you. You're like, oh God, this is a real problem.
That's a real human. Yeah, this guy has a real issue right now. Chuck a dart. If you actually say that non-ironically, I can't even believe you're a real human.
Yeah, these people, this is a real people. This is a real party. And and they're real pissed. And as soon, so I get the footage by asking one of their own guys who has a camera at the back of the room. I go, hey, can you email me this? And he goes, yeah, no problem. So they emailed me the footage. And then within 2 hours of emailing at me, they rescinded it and said, you do not have the rights to post anything we just sent you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just saw part one of my video online of like me going in the setup. And then they took it all back. They said, you do not have the rights. And I went, too late. You already sent it to me, right? It's going up. It's going up. And then so he's calling and emailing. I'm taking a train out of town. I'm already in the next city. He's still calling, still emailing. Then he's trying to say, like, I just wanted to talk, man. I just wanted to talk. And I'm like, no, you didn't want to talk. You wanted to cut certain jokes. And I'm not going to cut certain jokes. He's like, no, I just wanted you to cut the part with the priest. I wanted you to cut the part with... And I was like, yeah, exactly. You wanted to cut the most important part of the story.
The most important part.
The priest is integral to this whole story.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's what really mattered in it. And I have journalistic integrity, and I'm not going to. And it's staying up.
Good for you, man. You pretty much are a journalist.
I said, you're going to have to pay me a lot to compromise my footage. So I threw out like breadcrumbs. I was like, you could bribe me, right?
You're like, listen, I have integrity. I cannot be compromised unless there's a bit of money on the table. Wet my beak a little bit. Give me a little cash out here.
Exactly, man. I was thinking like 400.
Sometimes you just throw out a number and you say 400 and you hope they think it's 1,000. But even if it was just $400, you would be like, yeah, that's a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
That's a lot of coffee. I'll do it. Sure, I'll cut anything up for $400.
So that's still ongoing.
What a strange...
Now,
wow.
Now let's cycle into part two of this.
Okay.
So Matt Wall, comedy booker here in town.
Yes, yeah.
He's watching the video of this roast, okay? Which, by the way, we'll put in the event description. The video description.
Maybe in the description we'll put the link. Is it on YouTube or is it
on...
Yeah,
it's on YouTube. Okay. Yeah, okay. We'll link to it. Okay. So he's watching this video in his office, and he gets a call from somebody... And they're looking for a comedian for a gig. And it's this woman. She goes, yeah. She goes, I need a comedian for a funeral. And as he's watching my footage, he goes, I think I got the guy for you.
Oh. Oh.
And he's right. I would love to do a funeral.
Yeah, okay? You would.
So he sends me the good news. He's like, give this girl a call. Her name's Marilyn.
Okay? Yeah.
So I phone Marilyn just like 3 days ago. Okay. And I go, hi, Marilyn. I was put in contact with you. I'm a comic out of Calgary. I'm told you need a comic for a funeral. Is that right? She goes, yes, that's right. I go, well, first of all, what's the date of the funeral? Let's see if I can even do it. And she goes, well, I don't know yet. I went, oh, okay. Well, whose funeral is it? She goes, mine. Okay. Is everything okay? Like, I'm not doing too well. And I heard that comedians can use stories from their life and tell stories in such a way that can make an impactful difference on an audience. And I go, you heard this or you've seen it? Have you watched comedy before, Marilyn? She goes, well, I've been told about it.
Oh,
she's never seen it. I go, okay, so what's... how long you got, Marilyn? Like, what's going on?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I've been in bed sick all week.
Right.
I got a sore back, a sore stomach. She starts like listing flu symptoms. And
sure.
I'm like, what's going on? And then she's like, I have stage 4 like lung cancer.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, first of all, Marilyn, I think you need more than a comedian right now.
Yep.
You probably need some medical help. You should be maybe focusing on a more positive outlook right now instead of already planning your demise. You might manifest it quicker if you start planning, you know, the seating arrangement at your own death.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yeah.
But having said that, let's continue to talk about the gig, right? I want to hear about this. She goes, yeah, I heard that comedians can deliver a message. And I'd like to deliver the message that bullying is not okay. And things that you say to people have a lasting effect on their lives. I go,
oh, wow.
I go, Marilyn, do you have a vendetta against some people in your life? And she goes, I wouldn't call it a vendetta.
Whew.
I go, all right, Meryl, how much does this gig pay? What are we talking?
You here? Are a savage, dude. You're a psycho.
I go, what is this?
You're
pay?
A psycho.
She goes, I don't know. I go, do I get the will? What do I get? 5%? Do I get 5% of the will, Marilyn?
Oh.
And obviously in good spirits, right? She goes, nope, I'm not even giving my family 5% of the will. And that's when I put 2 and 2 together. I go, oh, Marilyn, is it your family that has wronged you? Silence. She goes, yes. And I go, are these family members going to be attending your funeral? She goes, yep. And I go, and you want me to essentially deliver a message on behalf of you to them? And she goes, I would like that.
Damn, you figured it out, man.
And I was like, well, you got the right guy for the gig.
Yeah, you okay? did. Have you seen my political rallies?
I started telling her about other gigs I've done. I'm like, I'm one of the comedians that will say yes to weird things like this.
Yeah,
I've done
yeah.
the political rally. I've performed in a swingers room. I was like, Marilyn, what do you think about this? Like, I performed in a swingers club, and then the whole room of people had sex right in front of me after the show. What do you think about that? And she goes, well, I don't like that very much at all.
Why would you tell her that?
Because we're open. She's telling me about her stage 4 cancer. I'm telling her about my... We're having a conversation.
Okay, sure.
Here,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
And the whole 5%, you know, of the will, you know, that's good nature. You know what I mean? She's calling a comic to perform at her funeral. She
okay.
can take a joke, right?
Okay.
Now, so I go, Marilyn, I'll take the gig. I'm interested. Obviously, we don't really have a date. It's kind of TBD.
Okay.
But I said, unfortunately, I will need a contact number from someone else in your family, because when the day comes, I won't be able to call you, will I? You know, I'll have to be able to call.
Oh, my. Someone what do you want her to send you a gig sheet?
Essentially.
Oh, dude.
So I'm going to meet with her this week in person. She wants to vet me out and make sure I'm the right guy for it. And I really want to get this. Like, this is like an interview for me.
Oh, wow. You want this,
I want
dude.
This gig.
Wow.
Because she wants me to pretty much say, like, hey, listen up. Marilyn's not in this box right now because of stage 4 cancer. She's here because of you people. That's what she
Are
wants
you serious?
Me to do. And I would. Why not? A woman's dying wish?
What?
A woman's
oh,
dying
dude,
wish?
You
there
are...
is no higher honor than that. There is no
okay.
higher honor
All
than
right.
that. That's
okay.
huge. Imagine if that was like, it was your grandma and I was doing that
right.
for your grandma. That's huge.
Okay.
These people are alive. They can take a joke. This one's not. Okay?
Right.
Let's do something for her is how I see it.
But does she, and she actually wants it after she's already passed away?
Mm-hmm. In the box.
Yeah, this is heavy stuff.
I'm going to be right. I'll
Well, if anyone's looking for a comedian for literally anything.
Anything.
Forte will do it.
Anything.
Isn't that a strange, it's strange how many weird gigs you get offered, right? Because you've performed in just someone's house before,
mansion.
Right?
Mount Royal Mansion in their living room. Had to
yeah, in
set
a living
up,
room,
Had to set
right?
up my own speaker.
Yeah.
And they told me to, like, just, like, surprise the party. Like, crash the party and just start doing stand-up.
Right.
Like, plug in a speaker. And.
Yeah, I don't know why people think you can just...
They don't.
Like, they don't, it's actually one of the only things that really needs a setting. Mm-hmm. You really need lights and a stage a little bit. And then people are just like, yeah, can you come? I had one that was offered to me where this guy, he's like, hey, my brother's turning 40. We'd love a comedian. So in my head, I'm like, okay, it's a birthday party. Maybe I'm performing at their house, but whatever. Oh, no, we're going to go for dinner, and I want you to dress up like a waiter. Already I'm like, there's no chance I'm doing this, but let's hear some more about this. Dress
okay.
up like a waiter, come over and take our order. But when you take our order, I'm the only one that's going to know you're a comedian. I want you to start roasting my brother. And in this guy's head, he thought this would be amazing.
This is a hidden camera game
it's
show.
It's a hidden camera. Exa-
there
it's like
should be guys laughing
camera.
Behind in the back room with mics. Like, say this, say this, say this next.
It's produced by Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
This is how we do it. And then he was like, oh, yeah, my brother's a virgin, so I want you to make fun of him for that. So I'm like, okay, so your brother is having a birthday, and
yeah.
you want that he won't know. You want the waiter, from his perception, to come up and make fun of him for being a virgin. And you think that's going to go over really well.
No,
hey,
no microphone
Do you
either.
Live in real life?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you live in a simulation where nothing is what it is?
Yeah.
Because that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Now, I did it because it was $400, but...
Yeah, yeah. $400.
I literally was like, there's no amount of money that I would... Because it's just... It's a stupid idea.
Yeah, well, that one has no microphone, right?
Agreed. I will perform comedy anywhere, almost any circle, but that type of thing where I'm like, it's charades now.
Yeah.
I'm literally dancing like a circus monkey for you.
They got you dressed up like a Rob Schneider movie, like as a jiggle, like
yeah.
a different character.
Yeah.
Like white chicks going in or something. I don't know. That's
maybe,
weird.
Yeah, maybe that's my rule. Maybe I go, I'll do any gig, but I'm not dressing up like a thing. I'm not coming in as a waiter.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
surprising.
Yeah. I ain't no clown. And
I don't even...
draw the line at microphone, right? Got to have the setup.
Yeah.
And sometimes they didn't. I'd have to bring my own, man. I'd set up their own living room. Take their dining room chairs and form my own audience in the afternoon before coming to the party.
Oh, God.
At night.
But it went well,
Still
didn't it?
Still fun gig.
It
Still,
went good.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roasting. It was a mixed couple. It was a white guy with a Filipino wife. And then there was like children roaming
so
into
weird.
The... into the living room during some of my dirtier jokes too, and they were
so
like
weird.
Earmuffed and told to go downstairs.
God,
that was strange.
I did one time, literally in a boardroom. Like I got hired for this like Christmas party, and I always forget to make sure there's a microphone, that type of thing. and I just show up, and everyone is just like eating pizza, and we're just in a boardroom with a table, and people are sitting along the table like we just finished a meeting about the you know Q2, and now let's have, and they're like, Todd, go ahead, and you got to figure out a way, microphone, to do a set. But then you know what you do is you just make it fun for yourself. And so I walked around the table because I'm like, there's no rules right now. So I'm going to tell my jokes as I walk around. And you see people have to like crane around and like follow me this boardroom table.
You're like the boss delivering the message, like walking around the oval table.
It's so weird. I think it makes you a better comedian when you do weird stuff like that. But it is like, I don't know how many other... Like, I don't know if someone's hiring someone to play a saxophone and just show up. And, like, yeah, just walk around our office and play a saxophone.
Yeah. I mean, out of this East Coast swing, just doing 20 shows in 20 days and people coming up to me after the show saying, like, hey, I have this event. Would you do it? I landed a wedding. I've never done a wedding before.
That'll go well.
Have you done a wedding?
I did. I did my friend's wedding.
Okay.
It's tough.
Now, did you MC it or did you just do stand-up?
I did stand-up.
At the end?
I literally did a stand-up set.
Where did it
right
go?
Right near the end. Kind of right before. So there's, you know, you do the reception, and then everyone was there for a while. And then right before we opened up the dance floor, I did stand-up.
Oh, wow.
It was actually really fun, but you don't know. You have to be super clean, obviously. I mean, you might not. I don't think you're going to.
You hired who you hired.
I felt like I had to be clean.
Yeah.
So I was clean because I don't know who's family and this type of thing. It was a tough one. It was fun, though.
So you opened up for the dance.
Yeah, I opened up.
It's in like a banquet room. Is that the right setting?
Banquet room. Chairs are on the side. I'm on the dance floor. So I go perform. I think I did 20 minutes.
You just stood on the dance floor.
I just stood on the dance floor.
Wireless
I think
mic.
I had a microphone. I'm pretty sure I had a microphone.
You're in a suit?
I was in not a suit, but dress clothes, which is already so weird. I do not like performing.
I hate that.
In like with a shirt tucked in.
Yeah, some of the clubs out east, you have to wear a collared shirt on stage or the owner will fucking flip out.
Are you serious?
Okay, this guy flips out at everything. Let's talk about some of the little things that he's so neurotic about. Okay, so the sign on the stage, it hangs by like a rope, like close to the backdrop. And if you nudge it, if you bump it, it'll sway a little bit.
Right, right.
He will come up to you and talk to you about that after.
Don't hit
it,
then.
Don't bump the sign.
Don't bump it.
By the way, you have this much stage to work. This is how big the stage is there.
Right.
So you sometimes if you want to lean against the wall, like you can't. There's that.
Okay.
If you bring up a water bottle on stage that is not the right brand, if it's Dasani and the place doesn't sell Dasani,
sure,
you got a talking to.
Oh.
If you go over your time by a minute, and this light is a fucking crosshair on your forehead during your set, because oftentimes you'll be in the wings, ready to go on, and they're like, "You guys ready for your next comic?" And the manager will walk up to you and be like, "20 minutes," and you go, "Yeah," like it's been 20.
Sure.
The night before that,
right.
The night before that,
yeah.
And then he goes, "Okay," and that's it. And he goes like this with his hand.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then you know that you're on the clock extra for this set. And the minute that light goes on, and then when it flashes, it begins flashing at 20:00, just like this, repeatedly flashing.
Okay.
And will not stop until you get off.
Yeah.
And if you go over 1 minute, actually just 1 minute, maybe even 45 seconds over your time, there's a talking to there as well.
Okay.
It's wild. They run a completely different ship. A very profitable business, this chain of clubs, but not a... I don't know. Not a positive workplace environment for comedians sometimes. I'll put it that way.
You know, but I would prefer that someone actually really cares about... Because we've all done clubs where they don't care at all. And you're like, well, this is not...
Well, yeah. Obviously, you set a standard and people are going to behave better. It's going to save you some bullshit down the road. But there is so many good people that are not taking advantage of going over their time and not... being assholes and just actually doing really good, walking off stage, feeling like $1 million and having a great time. And the first thing they're told is like, hey, like me in Ottawa told that like pretty much walking off to a semi standing O like that good. And I walk to the green room and he's like, hey, listen to me. I want you to step up a little further on the stage, a little bit more. Okay. Watch the headliner. Watch what he does. Okay. You'll learn from him. 5% more laughs. 5% step up. Just one more. Trust me.
I have always said that to you, though. You stand too far back. Drives me crazy.
No, man. You just realize it's like, okay, you had to say something. I didn't have a water bottle up there. I didn't bump the sign. I didn't go over my time.
Right.
Like, let's find something to talk about here.
Right.
I don't know. And it's not just me. I might be the only one talking about it on the podcast, but it is not just me who's like, cannot believe how quick things can turn negatively.
Right.
And it's not just that club. It's, this is across the world.
Huh.
It's like that.
It's interesting that, I always find it interesting in stand-up that one of the most essential things is people sticking to their time. And I've only ever performed in one club that has a clock.
Yeah.
That counts up. And you see the clock and you're like, oh, that's a good idea.
Great idea.
Because you know what? It's 2019. I should just know the exact time.
Yeah.
Sticking to your time is so important. And as just a general, we use the most archaic forms of awareing people about their time situation. I just laugh. It's so fun. And it's different everywhere you go. Somewhere it's like, all right, 3 minutes before you're done your set, someone in the kitchen is going to wave the heat lamp like this. When you see that heat lamp, you know you got three minutes.
Pigeon. Yes. Across the room.
Yeah.
You got five.
Listen, we're right next to a railroad. There's a 910 train that comes through. When you hear the rumbling of the train, you know you got to wrap that up. You got 1 minute left.
When the light bulb's shaking because of the subway underground. Yeah.
It's all like the most passive symbols of all time.
Hey, we have this, so there's no excuse because we have a watch on our hand. So at the end of the day, we should be able to keep to our time regardless. But you know how it is. Sometimes a two-minute story begins when you have a minute left. And instead of leaving subpar for the show, let's leave a little bit better. For the next comic even, let's leave a little bit better.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a minute.
Right.
Okay? The sun was here, and now it's there. You know?
You do know a lot of science,
it's,
dude.
It's, we're talking nothing. Zero.
Yeah. It is... Yeah, it's funny, like, all these things that we try to use. I'm going to light a little lighter for you to get off type thing, you know? But sometimes, if you have a hot audience, and I've had this happen, you can completely lose track of, like...
Oh, yeah.
When you bomb, like, when you have a bad audience, you feel like you burn through all of your material, and then I'll usually check my phone at a certain point.
You're 12 minutes.
And you're like, it's like 22 minutes. And you're like, oh, that was every joke.
Yeah.
But then the opposite, when you have the audience is on fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's almost frustrating because you look and you're like, I'm at 47 minutes. And you're like, I didn't even do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's weird, but it's because jokes become so much longer. When there's rolling laughter.
Yeah.
Because you can actually breathe in between jokes as opposed to when there's eight people, you're like, all right, I just hit you with this.
Yeah,
now
so
we're done.
Your 7-minute showcase set, which is what we have to do to get into places, right, varies depending on the audience. Your 7 minutes at Broken City can be 6 minutes here on a Thursday, and it can be 8.5 minutes at the club I just worked at.
Right.
Because of just how loud it can get. Too easy.
I always find the most awkward is when you have to go back and do like a 5-minute set for any type of showcase or something like that. You don't have time at the beginning of 5 minutes to ease in. When you do a headline set, you can mention something that happened in the room.
Yeah.
You know, round of applause for the other comic. You can sort of smoothly. 5 minutes, it's like you have to hop right into your first joke. And it's always so unnatural, I feel like, because you just have to jump in. Like, hey, guys, I was fishing. So when you're fishing, this, you know, you almost just have to, like, it's like jumping into a pool. You're like, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid. I'm using every metaphor you could possibly think
of. That's why I've been having fun with getting on stage and just being like, ah, who's here tonight? Yeah, here's my problem with you people. Like, just getting into it immediately. That's so far the quickest way I found to just getting into, like, who I am, what my act is about.
Sure.
Just saying, like, yeah, cool, here's my problem with you.
Yeah,
and
wow.
And then we're in.
Yeah. So are you doing a lot of more political rallies now? You got a big campaign season coming up? You booked for the rest of the year doing campaigns?
How about, dude, I daydreamed, obviously for days, because I got the gig on like a Wednesday and the gig's on a Sunday. So I have days to write jokes, learn politics, and also dream up all these scenarios each night while going to bed.
Sure.
Of like what it's going to be like. I don't know if I painted the picture right, but it was 200 people. It was 200
it's a decent audience,
people,
yeah.
And mostly like seniors. We're talking like 50 plus in a bingo hall.
Okay, yeah. This is already sounding good.
So like tough crowd, but a good crowd.
Okay.
But I was daydreaming thinking like, I'm going to nail this gig and Maxime's going to come up to me and he's going to be like, hey, we've been doing rallies all year. None of them have gone as good as that. We need you. We need you on the trail. Like, can you do a tour with us? We got another month to go. And I would be like, Maxime, you would have to pay me $200,000 to do that.
Sure.
Right? And then he turns around, they have a quick conversation, and they're like, okay. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm on tour with the People's Party of Canada.
Yeah, we just got some more donations, so don't worry about it.
I gotta call Yuck Yucks and be like, I can't do October. I'm with Maxine. I'm with Mad Max. Yeah, I'm on the trail.
I'm here till the end of the election here.
Could you imagine in 2016, man, you're hanging out in Washington, D.C., and a guy named Donald comes up to you. And he's like, hey, Todd, I'm a big fan of your work. Could you host a little party I'm doing? I want to announce something. The year's 2016, and I want to announce something. Mm-hmm. You want to be my guy? Would you take it?
I go, I hope I'm on a Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, hey? I don't know. It's fun.
It's amazing to me how short our Canadian elections are compared to the U.S. election isn't even for, what, another 2 years or something like that? Or a year and a bit? I think it's next October.
2020.
And they're already having the Democratic debates and that type of thing. Our whole election... The whole campaign is like the next 3 weeks. That's the whole campaign. And then it's like, all right, you guys know enough. Let's vote.
I like that.
It's such a crazy difference. Hey, yeah, ours is just like, all right, if you leave town, you could miss the whole election. And be like, oh, shit, was that this week? And they're like, yeah, we didn't know until Thursday.
Yeah, I find a lot of people are just kind of learning the parties right now. You know, they're just kind of learning about what's going on. The debates are just starting to happen.
Right.
Mad Max wasn't even allowed in the debates. He doesn't even have a seat at the adults table. He's on the child's table right now.
No way.
And he's fighting to get in. He's like, well, it's not a proper election if I'm not there. So that's why he's picking fights with girls on Twitter, because he's not allowed in the debates. He has no one to talk to.
I feel like, as a general rule, no politician should even have Twitter. Should they?
Right.
For what?
I mean, Nenshi was a real star on it.
Was he?
Of course, dude. Naheed Nenshi was one of the top ranked mayors in the world.
I know that, but was he big on Twitter?
Well, everything he said was so positive and like, oh, like accepting. So it just gets the retweets and the clicks.
Yeah,
so
sure,
obviously
sure.
It was a good way of, I mean, JT, our guy Justin Trudeau, he's the kind of guy that tweets like, no matter where you are, where you're from in the world, Canada accepts you.
Yeah.
You know, retweet.
Yeah.
That's up there with Ellen, you know, that's a big tweet. So, yeah, I think it is important, man, because they get to speak to you directly unfiltered. I mean, I think, let's take it one step further, every politician should have a podcast.
I actually agree, because then you could hear them for hours.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to these little snippets that the news manipulates and cuts apart. Who knows? I think they should all have Instagram, too. I think by the time that you and I are older, right? Because it's the older generation. It's old people, like, you know, that are running. By the time it's people that are the same age with us...
Yeah.
I think they'll be running on Instagram.
It's a very powerful platform. No matter what job you have, Instagram can make more money for it.
Especially when you're like me, I'm an entrepreneur influencer.
Uh-huh.
So, and I tell people about my journey. There's a lot of things that I like to tell people about.
Well, specifically, what about your journey?
Just the ups and the downs. And I remind people that even Michael Jordan got cut from his... basketball team.
Is this what you remind people of?
Dude, how many people's lives are terrible because every day they go, hey man, Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team and look how that worked out. So I'm gonna do one more hit of crack.
Yeah.
And then I'll get this shit back on the rails, dude. Everyone's gotta start low somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's always those stories. Like, hey, he didn't start acting till 42. Now he's a millionaire. You know, I got plenty of time. Yeah. Right? No, you don't.
Yeah. The one that people always use is, what's the comedian? It's like, I got no respect. I don't get no respect. Rodney Dangerfield.
Okay.
He literally didn't become famous till he was like 60 or something like that.
Right.
So that's the worst case. For anyone in show business, you always go, hey, Rodney wasn't famous till 60. I'm only 52.
Yeah.
So...
And that's
my best years are ahead of me.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
It's positive. I dislike how society marches to these quotes, though, man. Like, we just all are walking, you know, Tony Robbins, really believing in it.
Yeah.
I've never been one to, like, look at a quote on the internet and have it have any effect on my life.
Right. I always think it's a bit, like, even if it's a good quote, the person posting it is like, you're just... you didn't even write that. So you're just virtue signaling to everyone else
mm-hmm.
something. And I'm like, that's weird.
I'm trying to think of, like, the worst. Well, the one that pops to mind is, like, the one, we'll do a little follow-up. So in episode 3, we aired a little footage from my breakup in my last relationship. Let me give you some more information on that. Because we are in the year 2019, the relationship did not fully end in person. It ended with a text message.
Okay.
Did we ever cover this off air?
No.
So that's what you do, right? In 2019. Think about it, right? You don't say everything in person. You send one more little text, something you didn't have the nerve to say in person.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Just to put one more fucking spin on your head, right?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, and this, right? So sure enough, what I got was a quote from Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain once said, I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I am not, right?
Amazing.
This is what you're ending a relationship with.
Yeah.
A quote from a guy who killed himself. I said, yeah, and then he killed himself. And she's like, well, how dare, like, everyone has their demons, Brad. You can't judge someone. And I'm like, yeah, but the person you're using to get through your day didn't make it through his.
Oh, Jesus.
Where's your logic there?
Oh, my God.
Pick way better people for your quotes. If the quote from Kurt Cobain is, hold the guitar this way to play a better chord.
I like music.
Yeah, you'll find I like music.
This quote is, I like music.
Then yes, validated. You're allowed to say that.
Sure.
Right? I find if you sit here on behind the amp, the music is cool. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, I don't know, living more than 27 years on this planet, you failed.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
I'm
boy.
Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy.
Those are facts.
I want you on my political party.
Not a good quote.
Jeez.
Pick a way better quote.
Sure.
So she did, and it was a Will Smith quote. And it was something about, like, I need to find... Will Smith said when him and Jada, is that his wife?
Jada Smith is his wife, yeah.
He goes, we, like, broke up early on. He goes, she needed to find her happiness and I needed to find my happiness. Like, her happiness was not my responsibility.
Right, right.
It should never be. You should be able to be happy and then come together and build together. And you know what? That quote does
I agree
actually,
with that.
That quote is nice. Yeah. But it's also from one half of the Bad Boys. Okay?
Yeah,
it's from the
yeah.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear it during a breakup. I want to hear your words. Not fucking Hitch's.
Right.
You know? But we're all marching to someone else's rhetoric.
Sure.
Rhetoric?
Rhetoric.
Rhetoric?
Rhetoric is the correct way to say it. Rhetoric.
Charcuterie? You
know,
okay.
You know what I always thought?
Go for a...
Let's order some charcuterie. Can we get some charcuterie in here?
A Nanamino? You got Nanamino bars?
A Nanamino charcuterie, please. I think the other funny thing that you see people do is like, they'll see something, they're like, I'm just going to go recreate that exact thing and then post it as if it was a new, like, how many photos are there of girls facing forward and then their hand is back and someone's like grabbing their hand and they're holding hands as they're looking forward?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, the first person who took that, that's a great photo.
That's it.
But by the time you see it 10 times and you're like, I'm going to go create that exact same picture and then post it up. That's so weird.
It's the lineup outside Made by Marcus for the ice cream that's supposedly better than the other ice cream next door.
Right.
It's the reason people line up because a lineup is forming that I have never understood.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like Dairy Queen's across the street. It's hot treats, cool eats. Let's go. I got coupons.
Yeah. To be fair, Dairy Queen is really only good for cool treats.
Do I have coupons?
Yeah, of course you do. What do you got?
Two McMuffins for $5 in my left pocket because that's how Frugal Forte rolls. Ready at all
times.
Dude,
and you're so frugal, you don't even have scissors, do you? You just rip that
thing. Just rip that.
My
buddy actually applied for a job at Dairy Queen, and you know how he got it? He was 18 years old, maybe 17. And they said, why do you want to work at Dairy Queen? And he just shrugged. He went, hot eats, cool treats. And they went, you're in.
We got him. He knows the line. He knows the line.
He knew the line.
Man, I had a buddy who, he did a group interview, which is already a disaster. Group interviews, right?
Yeah.
He did a group interview for, I think it was Petland or PetSmart, one of those places. And he said, part of it, like the first thing they ask you is they're like, hey, everyone... please tell us what your favorite animal is, why, and then enact it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine not getting that job? And you're like, did I choose the wrong animal? I rolled around on the ground like a snake to try and get this job. I genuinely like snakes. And yeah, sorry, I didn't choose dog like everyone else. Everyone's choosing dog. I tried to be a snake, be a little different. And I don't even get a job.
How many people were in this group?
There was at least 8 people. So that's 8 animals.
It's like an improv, like, drama game.
Yeah.
So what happens when someone takes your animal to the left and you're up next? And, oh, shit, I gotta go new animal.
Right.
What? Okay, let's do it right now.
Okay.
Todd, what's your animal?
Shit. This is tough.
What would you like to show us today?
I don't want to show any animal, to
meerkat,
be honest.
Dude. Oh, yeah. It's fuck. Obvious. Pop up.
I forgot about our whole podcast theme. That's right.
That's going to get laughs in the room. Just that.
Just from me.
Right?
Okay.
Side to side. I might even pull up my crow.
Yeah, you do good bird sounds, dude. Yeah. That's a crow. What else
I'm
do you have?
I'm getting this interview, like one way or another. One time. Now, I don't have a jacket to really do it properly or a button-up shirt.
Okay.
I actually used this in a real-life scenario. I did a peacock.
Okay.
I fanned out.
Yeah.
So I took my jacket.
God, you're so flexible. Okay.
I flared it.
Yeah.
And I actually had to do that because there was 2 skunk sitting next to my car one morning.
Now, skunk, is it 2 skunk or is it 2 skunks?
Skank is the problem.
Forgot. That's skank. Right. There's 2 skanks sitting beside
your
car. So
there was some skank, yeah. Yeah. About 80 pounds of skank leaning up against my car. Okay.
That's a big skunks, yeah.
So I flare out, right? And I start prancing with the legs. I just start. And they didn't like it because I was big.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I was big. I was in charge. And they fucked off. And I've heard a lot of people have problems with confronting skunks. Not me.
A lot of people do. Do you think you had to do that, though? Or do you think you maybe just could have gone, hey,
I went with my
go
gut.
Away.
Went with my gut, and it was the right call.
You just went with your animal instincts.
And that skank got out of there.
You never seen skank again. Good for you,
not
man.
On my watch, dude. So
that's
there's
you.
My 3 animals. I'm going to kill this interview. You still got nothing.
You, if this was a job interview, you'd have it.
I'm already fucking changing the gerbil cage right now.
Damn. Yeah, I'm coming at them with them wrong animals, too. But there's got to be some wrong animals,
what
if you said,
be,
right?
What could you be, you know?
Like, as if I was an actual animal?
Yeah. Like, what's your
mountain
thing?
Gorilla.
Yeah, you like to come into the podcast with a pump, you know? That's 4 episodes now. I don't like it. Now I got to have a pump to match your pump.
You want me to cover up?
Kind of.
Okay.
I'm already malnutritioned as it is.
You aren't looking bigger, though.
You said that, but there's...
I'm serious. You look bigger.
No way, because I really didn't work out much on the road.
Sometimes it just happens, man. You go to East, though. Humidity
maybe
can make your muscles, but they probably sucked up water.
If I'm more tanned, there'll be more cuts, maybe.
Could be.
Right?
Right. Or maybe you were just flexing before the show. You were flexing tricep.
Tricep.
Carrying a chair. Like, I've never seen someone carry a chair before, so maybe that was it. The whole thing was a ploy.
Yeah.
To flex the tricep.
Get that horseshoe going. Like guys do at the Safeway with their carriers, the basket.
Yeah.
And they'll put the horseshoe.
I can't pretend I haven't done that.
Yeah, it's shameless, man.
Yeah.
It's shameless.
Yeah, I've definitely done that before. I used to love carrying the, you know when you get that salt for the hot water tank?
When's your System Saver pellets?
System Saver pellets.
Got to get the good one.
I used to carry those around the block.
Yeah.
I loved unloading those, right?
These are like 30 pounds each.
Oh, my. Yeah. You just get 2. You feel like you're in a strongman competition.
Yeah.
You know when those guys like run
that's
with the thing?
That's called what's that called? The fireman's walk, the fireman's carry, something like that.
I don't know.
They grab 200 pounds in each hand
with
no straps.
Yeah.
Chalk, but no wrist straps.
Yeah.
And they can hang on to 200 pounds in their hand and run with it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm going to say something about that competition. And it's going to be controversial.
Okay. And know that I'm a big fan of it, and I grew up watching it with my father, so go for it.
And that's why this might hurt. But any time that they pull a vehicle, I go, I don't think that's that hard. I don't think it's that hard. Oh, you pulled a truck? Yeah.
Getting
it
going.
Initially, it's tough.
Getting
it going. And then once it's moving, anyone could do it.
Anyone?
Anyone. Once he has the truck moving, he could hand that to a 12-year-old, and they would carry that thing across the line.
You
it's
think so?
Moving.
it's also a semi and sometimes a plane, sometimes a 747 that these people pull.
Yeah, which is a little bit of a waste, isn't it? It's like, why is my plane, flight delayed? Oh, they're pulling it.
Hugo Girard.
Yeah, it went into overtime. It'll be fine.
He's got to do 60 meters. Yeah.
The plane is impressive, but it's not as impressive as it looks. It's not like they've built this thing like this guy could actually lift a plane. He can't. He can pull it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one for the cameras. You're right. It's good optics.
Yeah.
You're right. It's probably not the most impressive. I liked the African rock, the one that was shaped like the continent or Africa, you know? Remember the big stone?
Yeah.
Just had the raw lifted. It was like 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Then there's the Atlas stones, 5 of them that increase in weight.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
That's always fun to watch. I actually really liked doing the ones where you have to hold a weight, like an axe or whatever, to the side or in front of you for as long as possible.
Sure.
They do that at the bars here in Calgary.
They do it at worst.
Yeah, a jug at full worst of they do it. Beer. And I feel like I would be okay at it. And you, I'm worried about because
I
you
wouldn't
actually
be okay.
The more muscle you have,
exactly,
the faster it burns out.
100%. I tried it one time. I didn't do good at all.
Yeah,
because you're right. It just too much energy, and if you, it's more about, it's just like pull ups, right? Like if somebody is really light
and
they
skinny
can do
legs,
you could probably do 200 pull ups because you don't even have bones in your leg. I don't think.
I had bird legs.
You got them bird legs.
Bird legs, hollow.
Yeah, it's like, why do you think little kids can go on the monkey bars no problem. Like, little kids don't even think about how agile they're. Any kid could just do a monkey bar. Mm-hmm. If you took a random assortment of adults and you got them to even try to swing from one to the next, there would be so many injuries.
So many. Remember when we tried to film those promo videos at the park? And
it was hard.
Speaking of doing a lot of chin-ups, when I opened for Brendan Schaub here with Chris LaBelle, LaBelle was trying so hard to, like, plug me, you know, like, just be a good friend.
Sure.
And be like, hey, you got to check out Brett. He does this really funny thing on Instagram. He does these videos, stories that matter.
He's been a good friend, yeah.
He's the dancing videos. Brendan, you know, he's a sharp kid. He's, like, doing it. And then he has the nerve to be like, hey, Forte, he can do 100 pull-ups. He can do 100 pull-ups. And Brendan looks up like this as I'm squinting and looking at him, too, going like, no, don't worry. Like, I can't. And I went, no, Chris, I can't do 100. He's like, what do you mean? I thought you could. I'm like, no one could do 100 pull-ups. Maybe only like elite rock climbers could do 100 in a row.
Right.
Who have so much endurance built into their forearms. I can do 12. I said, Brendan, I can do 12. He goes, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
100.
100.
100.
You know who can do 100 pull-ups is the guy who has the pull-up record for Guinness World Records. But then it's a little bit... Okay, so people in life,
what is it,
which
10,000?
Is where we live. We live in life.
Yeah.
People can either do 14 pull-ups, or there's one dude who can do 3,000. And that's it. That's the range on... There's nobody out there who's like, yeah, I do about 300. No, you either do 14, or... Because you're normal.
You actually either do 5. Most people can do maybe 3 to 5.
Yeah.
14
for a regular... Yeah.
14's in shape.
I mean, yeah, if you work, you do 14.
Yeah.
And then there's just the dude who that's what he trains for, and he can do 3,000. There's no middle. What's your pull-up max?
There's some push-up guy in Edmonton who can do, like, 2,000. He sits at one of the train
stupid.
Terminals, and he just pumps out, like, 1,000 in a row.
Stupid.
I know.
Stupid. And I bet it's not even in good form, either. This is turning into the most bro podcast of all time.
I like it. We're passionate about it. I had a push-up contest against Sterling Scott. And Sonny Dhaliwal was the judge for it. I won.
How many did you do?
Because better form, you know? It came down to pretty much like, I think we both did 60, something like that. But it was just, his were sloppy.
Right.
And mine weren't.
That's a lot of push-ups, though, 60?
Yeah. Yeah. We're both kind of ready in shape for it at the time. And angry, and you like competitive, you know, you can do 15 more when you're like, you got to win, right? So,
but again, there's some guy out there setting the Guinness record of like probably 5,000 push ups, and you're like, just dude, stop after 300.
I don't
Who
know about
cares?
You, but wide grip, I can't do nearly as many as I can in tight.
That's
military,
wrong
because this uses more chest, my chest will burn out,
yeah,
the lactic acid, whereas in here, I can kind of keep a rhythm.
Oh, wow,
I'm sure a lot of people care.
People like these two are just idiots. We don't give a fuck about their...
They scrub to 40. It's been an hour. It's been an hour.
Hey, already?
Did we get to Saskatoon? I know you wanted to tell... something happened to you in Saskatoon.
No, nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
It wasn't a big... It was a good show. It was fun. It's just... Man, that's just... That is a drive and a half. That's 6.5 hours of just nothing.
Yeah.
Which I'm used to from doing stand-up all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm flying next time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then the show was good, which was good, because the worst is when you drive like 8 hours and the show isn't fun. You're like, oh, that was a complete waste. But any show that's super fun, it's worth it for the drive. But
I've tried to get away from it, especially with winters, man. We've seen so many of our peers, the hell stories of driving 10 hours, 8 hours on icy roads.
Oh, God. In a blizzard. Yeah.
For nothing. You know?
Yeah. The amount of people we've known that have got swept off the road.
Yeah.
Going to a $60 gig.
What are you doing?
Get out of here.
Yeah. Say no to the gig or fly. Speaking of which, I'm flying to Fort Mac this weekend to host a roast battle. Not my own.
You're doing one in Fort Mac?
Yeah, they're flying me in because they have their own squad. They have 8 guys.
Oh, wow.
And females, guys, whatever, people, and a whole...
I just see people.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I just see people.
It sucks that I even felt the need to correct myself there. So they have an 8-man roster up there, and it's a 2-day event. So the first day is about weeding it down, and then the finals are the next day.
Right.
So I got to write, and they supplied bios on all these people, and it gives all the information. And then there's a section that says can't touch, like off limits.
Right.
There's an off limit zone. And one guy in his bio was like, my dad died 5 years ago. Ugh. My mom is this, blah, blah, blah. And then at the bottom, off limits, family stuff. Then what did you
don't include
in the bio
then? Yeah.
Obviously, I'm only now circling the off-limits areas and going like, okay, here's where our jokes are going to be.
Sure, yeah.
Right? These are the ones that are going to mean something. So I got that.
Okay.
And then the next week, I'm going to Vancouver for an Alberta versus BC roast battle, volume 2.
Wow.
Back in May, Alberta won the first volume, 3-1.
Okay.
And now we got new rosters on both sides. That's September 26th. And then I'm headlining the rest of the weekend there in Vancouver. What do you got coming
Beautiful.
Up?
And I am here in this club, this lovely club, Yuck Yucks Calgary. I'm here all weekend headlining.
Nice.
It's going to be very exciting. I'm recording my first ever comedy album. So I'm going to be doing, we're going to audio record all of it,
nice.
Which I'm super pumped.
Nice.
And we're going to video it too. And I thought, this was the first stage I ever did stand up. Almost 10 years ago to the day.
I judged you.
You that's right. Back in the day, you were a judge.
When I was working in radio, I had to fill in on a competition judging panel, and you were the comic that stood out the most. And I remember saying the exact word, saying like, it got around to me, and I'm like, hey, I'm not a comedian, so take what I have very lightly.
Right.
And I remember saying, I can't remember what I said to you, but you did the act of the kid, the Indian floor hockey player.
Yeah.
I shoot top shot if I don't pull out.
that's
so
right.
Funny. You want to bring that joke back this weekend?
I could bring it back.
Nice.
I could bring it back. So yeah, I don't know. That's really cool for
full
me
circle.
To think.
Full circle.
Completely full circle. And I'm going to film it and I'm going to release it on November 11th, which is literally the 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Of me doing stand-up. So it's filmed at the stage where I had my first time, and then I'm releasing it 10 years to the day.
That's awesome.
Cool, right? That's cool. So I'm looking forward to it.
About 6 years too late on the album, but congratulations.
Bring the people out. Bring all the support. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. 2 mirrors.
Cool,
see
man.
See you next time.
Adios.
I start prancing with the legs. And they didn't like it because I was big.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I was big. I was in charge. And they fucked off. And I've heard a lot of people have problems with confronting skunks. Not me.
A lot of people do. Do you think you had to do that, though? Or do you think you maybe just could have gone, hey,
I went with
go
my gut.
Away.
Went with my gut, and it was the right call.